Hello and welcome to the Pocket Game iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 154B. I'm your host, Will Wilson. With me this week is John Jordan.
Hello.
Hello, John. How are you?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's kind of Friday. I'm getting a bit deja vu. I don't know. Did I do it last week?
This is weird, actually. Yeah, I'm getting deja vu. Did I get the right number? Have I moved it forward one? If you're wondering why we're all being kind of silly, it's because I was so tired last night when we recorded the podcast at our usual time, which is Thursday evening, that I forgot to even open our recording program. So not only did I not hit record, I didn't even start the program up. So I was so tired. So we're doing it again. We're doing it on Friday afternoon.
It was quite a good one, wasn't it, as well?
It was quite good. It was actually quite a bumper edition as well, which is going to really annoy
me. We did waffle on, didn't we? So,
yeah. We waffled on for it. Was like an hour and 20 minutes. It'd probably been about an hour and 10 minutes after edits. But yeah, this one's not going to be that long because we're also working at the same time.
And Keith's gone.
He's gone off to Bristol for a day trip.
Yeah, originally it was supposed to be, Keith, do you want to go and do this thing in the evening? Oh, yeah. Oh, when you get the train? 11:30. Oh, okay. Skiver.
Yeah. he's probably gallivanting around Bristol. He's probably in one of those montages, you know, where some sort of like tinkly music plays and he's going up to signs and pointing at them and... Anyway, let's go on to the news. We're gonna fly through this week. Okay.
News.
Yep. First up on the news this week, should we go with Bejeweled and Tetris first?
Yeah. We do that one. Yeah.
Bejeweled. So it's two separate stories really, but PopCap have released. We got into a little mini argument last time I did this. PopCap has released Bejeweled, which you might be wondering. Well, you might be thinking to yourself, yes, they did that quite a few times, in fact. So where's the news? Well, the news is they released Bejeweled and Bejeweled Blitz. Again, stop thinking they've done that. I know, but hang on.
And they removed Bejeweled 2 yes. plus Blitz from the App Store. So they've taken one game down and put two up.
Yes, and they've effectively put two via. I'm gonna make the point again that Bejeweled, the new version of Bejeweled, isn't the same as Bejeweled 2.
No.
Which was based literally on Bejeweled 2. This one's based more on the art style, and I think it's got the same music as Bejeweled 3 on PC, but it doesn't have all the same modes. It's only got three modes.
Yeah. It doesn't have the Blitz mode.
And it doesn't have the Blitz mode, which has been separated out and made into a freemium title. Hmm. Interesting move. Why do you think they did that?
Well, I mean, you'd kind of imagine that Bejeweled, obviously the name Bejeweled 2 plus Blitz suggests is a bit of a, we had Bejeweled 2 and then we just added this thing and then we, so it's a bit of a hodgepodge to begin with, I think. Mm. And I would imagine sales, you know, I mean, Bejeweled kind of sells regularly, but sales probably have peaked a bit before and they probably put it on, it's probably been on sale before, so you know, just to get to a certain extent with a game, and if you know you're not going to add masses to it, then you know it'll plod along selling, but they can think, well, we'll make much more effectively because people who've bought Bejeweled 2 and Blitz, whatever it was, for £3, mm-hmm. they're all going to buy Bejeweled, what's now called Bejeweled, aren't they? Okay, it's only 69p 99 cents, but they're all going to buy that. Yeah. And then they're probably going to spend loads of money in the freemium one, so just from a financial point of view, they probably can do better out of it, and it makes much more sense to how they can like handle the development, the going forward, and add things into it, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Also, the Bejeweled Blitz is, I believe that it's basically the Facebook game.
Oh, is it?
Bejeweled okay. Blitz. I mean, this is the confusing thing, because Bejeweled Blitz was a game mode on Bejeweled, but in the distant past, because I had it on Bejeweled Twist on the Java version. But then they made the Facebook one, and then they added that to Bejeweled 2, and now they've basically separated it out. Which, yeah. I mean, you could say what you like about it, but I mean, that's not to you, John. That's just a generalism. You could say what you like about it, John. I don't care. But it is a new version of Bejeweled. It isn't mm-hmm. just them putting Bejeweled 2 there. And,
although yeah. I have to say, in the actual press release that came through, they didn't make it very clear.
They didn't know.
What was going on, so they didn't mention, they kind of called it the all-new Bejeweled, but didn't say they'd taken the other one down, so they... Hmm. Yeah, I always kind of think it's weird with press releases where you may as well people are going to find out, and if you didn't tell them in the press release, they're going to make more of a kind of conspiratorial thing than that otherwise would have been. So it would have been much more sensible to say, taking this one down, put these two up, this is what we're doing. But
I'll tell you what was mentioned in a press release, but has had lots of slightly misleading stories written about it. Not us, though. Is Tetris, which is the other EA game. I mean, because PopGap EA is the EA game this week, which has had a freemium. No, not freemium. It embraces freemium because it's actually a paid for app. But they've introduced freemium aspects to it. So you earn coins, and then there's the option of joining the T Club, which is possibly the worst name ever. They might as well just call it Tetris Elite. I mean, not beaten around the bush.
No, that's true.
Although I think Activision might have got a bit pissed off if they did that, to be fair. But Tetris Club rather than Tea Club. Anyway, which is a subscription service, a lot like Call of Duty Elite, in that it's sort of, you know, you get special things.
No one knows what you get at the moment. That's a problem.
Yeah.
They've not really launched what it kind of is, have they?
I heard it was like hints and tips from top Tetris players or something.
Well, it kind of says, let's have a quick look. It's blah blah blah. What did it say?
Special bonuses or something?
Yeah, it says something like kind of additional content. Yeah, exclusive discounts and content, premier challenges, and a booster to progress your Tetris rank faster. So they now have this idea. They have you have a Tetris rank, which is basically your ranking in the world.
Yeah.
What are you in the world kind of thing. So, you know, so you can kind of see why some people are going to be that. But it's like, you know, if you can pay to get your rank boost, go, you know, how does that work?
Keith reviewed it. He reviewed it yesterday night for everyone on the podcast, and then I didn't record. and while other sites have just basically latched on to the fact that it has a subscription service, and and a lot of people in the App Store who quite obviously haven't played the game have gone given it one star because it has this subscription service, because they feel like they think, maybe because of all the misleading stories, that you require it to get anywhere. And you can cheat or whatever with money. But Keith, who reviewed it for us and gave it a silver award, he was saying last night that he really didn't even know what the point was, really.
He didn't even notice it until, because I wrote the news about this subscription thing, and I was like, Keith, what's this tea club thing? He's like, what's that? And I go, you're playing Tetris. And he's like, oh, yeah. There's four buttons at the bottom of the, you know, the bottom of the menu, which is like buy coins, join the tea club, and he didn't even notice they were there. So you know, it was Keith being Keith, I suppose. but in terms of the game, I mean, I'm not at all a Tetris fan, and you know, Keith said he wasn't as well. But just the presentation on it is really, really smart, really beautiful. They got this new mode,
One Touch and the Galaxy thing, isn't it?
Yeah, which is a bit weird. So the One Touch one kind of shows you where the blocks will drop. So you kind of basically touch where you want them to drop, which is, I mean, for complete newbies, I suppose. But yeah, they always do. I have to say, I mean, for a game that's been knocking around for how long it is now, 25 years, you know, a lot of times it does come out. And I remember when the DS version came out, you know, and they do manage to, you know, do some interesting stuff with that, with the concept. And still the one that everyone, I'm sure, plays the most is the standard Tetris. Cause that's what, you know, everyone experiences. But there's, you know, I guess it's proof of you know, you can be very imaginative in the game design and how you kind of
you know what's the most imaginative game out there Tetris?
What's that?
It's EA's Java one that they released last year that I reviewed, and I was very close to giving it a gold award. I was close to giving it a platinum because it had like 20 game modes and each and it was really good. Like one of them, you could only see what was directly below your block when you were lowering it. It was completely pitch black other than Tetris Revolution. That's it. It was really good. I want to see that on an iPhone because it's,
But you kind of think, I mean, there is a company now called, you know, they've been around for a while called, I don't remember what they're called now, Blues something or other. But it's the guy who did the first deal, Hank Rogers, the American guy, did the first licensing deal for Tetris back in the day. And he owns the rights to Tetris, so everyone has to license kind of through him. So, yeah, basically that company has been making Tetris games for 25 years. And obviously they still have Alexei Pajin, whatever his name is.
Anyway, also, I heard that it takes certain elements of that song and plays them. So just bassline. Yeah, Tifa was saying about it. I was like, that sounds awesome. Mm. I would be grooving to that. You can't get tired of the Tetris theme.
Okay.
You can't, John. You can't. Okay.
I'm not, saying I am, but I'm just saying I don't play it enough. So.
Anyway, what else? Oh, Microsoft has released there's an additional bit to this piece of news now, because we found out today. But yes, my Xbox Live just launched on the App Store, which and if you want to have one up on your Android friends. It's not going to be on Android. it's for the iPhone, this one, my Xbox Live. It basically allows you to log into your, Xbox Live account and, play around with the avatar, check your achievements, see what your friends are doing, message people. All presented. Keith was kind of, again, he's not here, so we can say whatever we like about it. He hated it! he was saying it was very unusual because it didn't look like an Apple app. It looks like a Windows phone app, like incompletely, and it had all the sounds from the Xbox, so it was a little bit like having your Xbox screen in front of you, which was disconcerting. It doesn't work for me.
I
haven't tried it since I re-logged into my account, but yeah, maybe it's because I was on the beta for the dashboard. But it's an interesting one. Windows Phone owners got this app, though, that you can actually remotely control your Xbox. But obviously, it's Windows Phone, so obviously Microsoft will want to put more killer features in that one than the iPhone one. But still, it's interesting that Microsoft are releasing these apps on Apple and not Android at all, seems. Also coming out tomorrow from, hopefully, if this podcast is published on Friday, is Halo, what is it called? It's Halo something. Atlas. Yeah, so Halo Atlas is out, or it should be when you hear this. Which is it stands for Assisted Tactical Assault System. But this one's coming out on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone 7 on December the 10th, and it has it's basically just like a Halo guide. Only the interesting thing about this is that if you buy it on iOS, you've got to pay $5 or the equivalent. If you go on Windows Phone, it's free.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's coming out. So if you're a big Halo multiplayer fan, it has like weapon locations and tips and maps, and you can see where you died and all that jazz. So there you go. What else should we do? Should we quickly just follow up with? Should we miss out that Fruit Ninja plushies?
There's Fruit Ninja plushies out.
Yeah, there are Fruit Ninja. Well, there's one. There's one out.
There's two. There's going to be two.
They've put a watermelon as one of them, and it's got eyes.
And it's got.
But you slice them during
the
game.
Slice in it. Yeah.
You're personifying. I don't mind slicing watermelons because they're just fruit. But if they had eyes,
it'd be creepy, wouldn't it?
It would be creepy.
Well, if you can do plushies, you can't. The problem is you can't do a plushie knife, can you?
I don't know.
Okay, good.
So Fruit Ninja plushies, they're on sale ship worldwide on Half Bricks online store for
$15.
$15 Australian dollars.
No, it's not.
Is it?
It's dollars. £15. And actually, Australian dollars aren't that different to US dollars.
I know.
Aren't.
Yeah.
It's not like a tenth of the value. So. Yep.
So, yes, and then finally, Survival Mode is now officially being confirmed as coming to Minecraft Pocket Edition on all formats that it appears on, so that's Android and iOS.
Although we're not entirely sure when, are we?
No one knows really when, but Mojang has said it is coming, they're making it. We already knew about that, though, because we talked to them around the time of the release of the Sony Xperia Play 1. And they said that they'll bring survival mode at some point. So there we go.
It was kind of always assumed, wasn't it? That was the main point of the game, really.
Yes. Yeah. Survival mode is basically Minecraft for me. I know for some other people, it's going on servers and building with friends, big castles or whatever. But for me, it's all about fighting off creepers and hiding in the dark from zombies.
As with real life, then.
As with real life, essentially, yeah. That's the news burst. I'm going to fit in two quick previews, actually, before we move on to new releases. We'll quickly skim through new releases, just pick out the cream of the crop, I think. So yes, I played Real Football 2012 and Dungeon Hunter 3, both two new freemium games coming up from Gameloft within the next week or two, I'd say. They're coming out before Christmas. Real Football 2012 has turned into a freemium title. More freemium than Konami did with Pro Evo, which is essentially just a demo and then you bought extra modes on top. Mm. This one is a proper freemium title with an energy system. Let's Golf 3 players will remember that. I was careful not to say fans there because I'm pretty sure Let's Golf 3 fans don't mind about that energy, but a lot of people do. But apparently Gameloft have learnt from their previous mistake and are giving you a lot more. So basically, if you run out of energy, you can't play a match. There's FIFA Pro license. You've got the proper player names, not the proper club names or badges. And the tournaments are all very abstract. But in that, you get like a preset set of matches which you have to play through, and you get graded in stars to your performance. And of course, you earn cash from each match, and you use that to unlock new stadia, new types of balls. Don't laugh. and there's an edit. The most interesting thing for me was the social feature, which makes it look like a newspaper when you first open the app, and they have like live news feeds from international football from goal.com, social area where you can share forums and stuff, which is quite cool. I'm not overly convinced on the actual gameplay, but I don't know. FIFA's made quite a lot of progression over the last year. I think it's going to be tough to beat FIFA at that particular area. But yeah, both this and what was First Touch Soccer's new one? Dream.
Oh, it's Dream League Soccer.
Soccer.
Actually, I think it actually just came out. They wrote a really odd press release saying we've submitted it and it's going to come out before Christmas. And I was like, well, yeah, I think it is going to come out before Christmas. You just submitted it, and then I just saw, yeah, it's out. It's out now as well. So it came out yesterday. So it's Dream League Soccer, which is from the guys who used to be at Excellent Games, who actually did all the FIFA stuff on DS, and then they did, what was the first one called? They did They did X2 Soccer for a couple of years, and then they renamed it all as First Touch, and now they've actually spun out the company as a independent company, and the first one is Dream League Soccer, which is a freemium.
So I'll be going head to head with that then.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of because it's the Champions League, European Championship. Yeah, you know, everyone's trying to get their football out now and kind of build up campaigns and get people using it and all that kind of stuff. So
the other game I previewed was Dungeon Hunter 3, which has gone freemium as well. It's also changed genre essentially. It's not going to please lots of
anyone.
I think this one's misjudged personally. I'm not going to say anything like it. I won't pass judgment on the quality of the game because you need to. You can't review a game in 20 minutes. But in terms of the direction Gameloft has taken, it's now freemium and it's an arena-based combat game with no loot hoarding, in-app purchases, no energy system. You'll be relieved to know it doesn't have that. But yeah, it's lost the Diablo focused gameplay and just
lost the point.
And slash. It's lost the point, yeah.
Lost the plot.
And it's really for me, it's very disappointing because Dungeon Hunter 2 is the best Diablo style game on the App Store, in my opinion. And that's dismissing all the roguelikes. I mean, you could say the roguelikes are like Diablo as well, but you know, this was really close to Diablo. So it's kind of disappointing. It looks nice. It plays quite well. There's no dodge button, so I suspect it's just going to be a bit of a slog against the levels until you level up and then you can kill them. And every item can be bought with in-game money. So it's not Gun Brothers. You don't get locked out of the best guns. But, guns. They don't have guns. It's fantasy. Starves and broadswords. But at the same time, they look really expensive. So although they're saying you could get everything, I'd imagine that if you do want good weapons and armor, you're going to pretty much have to pay for it or play the game every day for a year. there's going to be multiplayer added in January, which is co-op, which actually might make the game quite interesting because it's got four classes and each one specializes in different areas, so that might do some good. And PvP, which is new for the series, But yeah, I'm just not sure they made the right decision on this one. I think they should have, like one of our commentators said on the preview, which you can read on the site, they should have really called it something else. Like, no, I mean like
Well, I
Dungeon
guess you could call it
Hunter
Dungeon. Yeah, exactly.
X, something,
No, you're
something
completely right.
X.
Yeah,
Not
that's it.
Dungeon Hunter 3, because that's going to be a lot of one-star reviews from angry people who have
Is
seen their
it actually
games.
out yet?
No, it's not out yet. It's out within the next 2 weeks. They can't give me a straight date, but it's before Christmas.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes down. And that's it. Let's go on to the new releases. Let's go on to what's actually out. This week on the new releases, we've got Six Guns, We're Going Home as Batman. Yeah, so first up, let's pick. Should we just pick three or four?
Well, yeah. So I mean, just go through the big ones.
All right. I guess one of the biggest ones this week is Batman: Arkham City Lockdown, which I'll talk about later. There you go. Six Guns, which is one of Gameloft's. It's a Gameloft freemium game. One of the two out this week, in fact. Six Guns is their Red Dead Redemption slash zombie game.
Yep.
Where you play as Buck Crosshaw.
Stupid name.
It is. As he escapes justice and then finds he has to fight against the living dead in the Wild
as
West.
You do.
As you do, yeah. I remember this from the history books about the Connor Party, the way they got held up in the Rockies because of the living dead rising from their graves. Yes, so I've played it. It's quite fun. It's not really open world. Well, it is open world, but there's no point to the open world. At least in the preview build I played, it was kind of an empty world.
I wonder why, though, they kind of decided to put zombies in it, because it does really change the...
It's because it's actually quite steampunky in actuality.
Yeah, I mean, you could do... Yeah, I don't know. I guess, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they could have just straight out cloned Red Dead Redemption.
Exactly. I don't know. It's kind of I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether it's just I'm bored of zombie games, but equally genuinely, I find it a little bit dull and a little bit, you know, I can't be, you know, not so much. But, you know, they're very dull adversaries, really, and it's kind of like,
Well, there's other things. It's the Living Dead and supernatural, so you know, there's like ghosts and other nasties lurking around as well. But it's a sort of steampunky, quite unusual. unlike Dungeon Hunter, you can't get the best weapons unless you pay for them. But I played it. There's some nice mission variety. It looks nice. It could be a good one, actually.
But we'll download it now. In fact,
you can download it right now.
So I can remember.
Home Sheep. Actually, I might do that as well. Home Sheep Home 2, which is Aardman Animations, Mobile Pie, and Chillingo, which is three people. Well, three groups.
Companies.
Three companies. Yeah, much more than three people. yeah. So this is sort of a Lost Vikings platformer from all three of them. It stars Shaun the Sheep and two of his pals, Timmy and was it Sheila? It's got to be something like Sheila, hasn't it?
No idea.
And yeah, it looks really nice. I mean, the actual art style looks really quite good. You sort of have to overcome platform puzzles. And it's got that sort of Aardman humour from looking at the video. It's 2D, so it's not clay animation sort of feel, but it looks quite nice. And that's out now for probably 69p, although I didn't check. Batman, by the way, is out now for $3.99, I think, and of course Six Guns is free. The other freemium title from Gameloft this week is Fantasy Town. Now, what's Fantasy
girls,
Town made
girls,
for?
Girls! Girls!
Wait.
Girls!
Is that your Fantasy Town? Signs saying girls, girls, girls. why John is shouting girls in the excited voice is because we got an email about this, and what did it say?
No, just the headline. I mean, Gameloft tend not to be a company that has particularly over exuberant emails, but he just said our first game designed for girls, and you're kind of like, really? I'm sure they must have done those. I don't know. It was Era's headline, so we just found that quite an odd thing to have in a headline. Because it's a very, I mean, not that we have not played it, so be careful. But it's a fairly standard, looks like a very fairly standard kind of Vill, we rule kind of isometric kind of city building thing. Well, obviously, it's aimed at girls and youth, I think probably younger girls. But I thought the art style looked pretty good.
I thought it looks quite nice, a nicely drawn game.
The slightly weird thing is you have there's like a combat mini game in it.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just
for girls.
There's like kind of monsters trying to invade your village or that's the kind of context of it. And then you're just like tapping on things, but you kind of think, okay, it's for girls, and you put a combat element in. Fairly strange.
How odd. All right. Well, it's kind of like that sort of Candy Town look to things from the
but it's nice. It's nice. It's a bit different. It's got like dwarves and fairies, and so it's all kind of slightly magical. Yeah, I thought if I was a lot younger in a different genre, different gender.
Yes. So what else is out? Mini motor racing, which looks rather good from the trailer.
That's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. We did a preview of this ages ago, and it's a sort of. Well, so not top down, but a 3D top down racing game with little mini cars. It is
top down, isn't it?
Yeah, the camera's at a slight angle. As John said yesterday, a little bit like Bang Bang Racing, or as I said, Reckless Racing.
Well, it's a bit more. It's not physically. I mean, Reckless Racing is the whole point of its crazy physics, isn't it?
Whereas
this is much more kind of cutesy little kind of super deformed kind of cars. But it looks really nice,
Yeah, it does look nice.
I don't think we need another top-down racing game, to be honest. But
I never turn them away if they look nice.
You're not okay.
No.
Yeah, I mean, and
I put them in my cellar.
garage.
What are we talking about now? Oh, games. Sorry.
And Binary Mill have got a pretty good reputation.
It's also got a Fruit Ninja track, apparently.
Yeah. Good.
Also out this week is Football Manager Handheld 2012.
It's zoomed up the charts, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the charts yet. It's going to be near the top, isn't it?
Yep.
It's the latest one from Sports Interactive. The big change this year is it's got shortlists. No, actually, the big change on the that's my big change. The big change on the press release was that it has a new mode called it's Challenge, I think. Challenge mode. And it's basically a short-term challenges where, like, you're given an injury-hit squad and you have to, prevail, or you're in a relegation battle. Quite good. I haven't heard of that being on any other versions of the game. I mean, the previous ones. How expensive is it? Because it's normally quite expensive, Football Manager.
I'm not sure.
$6.99.
Is it? Mm. Well, it's got the brand, isn't it? So
it's got the brand, and it's a big game. It's in a huge game. Technically, you play it for ages. Well, forever, if you're immortal. It's also got the Welsh Premier League and Blue Square North South divisions that have been added. It's pretty cool. So you can play as Sutton United now, John.
Sutton United?
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I can't wait. It doesn't... You know what's annoying, though? It doesn't go one further down. Because I think that's...
You've got to stop at some point, haven't you?
I know, but Cambridge City's quite far, far, far down.
No one wants to play as Cambridge City.
Oh. I would. Yes, so Football Manager's out as well. What else is out this week?
There's a few more out, actually. Very quickly run down. I'll probably forget some of the ones I did. There's a very odd game from, not very odd, odd concept called from a Korean company, Come To Us, called Come On Baby, which is kind of a little bit like, I guess it's based on their Home Run engine, where that's a baseball game where you play against other people, kind of multiplayer engine, real time. So Come On Baby is basically it's a kind of side on arena based game where you have a baby and you slap the other baby, and it's kind of, obviously slapping baby is not particularly well regarded anywhere, but certainly not on the App Store. But it's very Korean, so the whole point is you're kind of your baby avatar is being kind of leveled up and things. But yeah, it's kind of odd. odd that that kind of got released, I think. Anyway, there's another one called Flick Pig, which I talk about a bit later on in terms of what we've been playing. But that's very cool from the ex-Sonic Team guys. There's one that actually just came out before, I didn't mention it yesterday, but there's another freemium game called Glue, which is called Infected, which I haven't talked about zombies. This is a zombie game, but it's a top-down kind of strategy zombie game. So it's like it's a bit like a tad defense kind of thing, but it seems to have kind of multiplayer online elements as well. So I've not got around to playing that yet, but that kind of looked interesting. Certainly when I saw the video a while back, that looked kind of pretty interesting.
Sure, zombies and strategy. That's
well, it's just the top-down strategy thing looked a bit more interesting than rather than to go around shooting zombies again. another one just came out is Grabatron, which is a from Future Games of London, which is you control a UFO and he has like a big grabber arm and you kind of grab things and then flip them around. It's kind of like a physics type grabbing game. So it's a bit like it kind of reminded me a little bit of like Deathworm or something. Well, obviously Deathworm you're under the ground, whereas this is kind of you're floating around, but it's like a similar kind of theme to it, I thought.
I'll tell you what else is out.
Paper Toss 2's out.
Paper Toss 2, yeah.
Been downloaded 100 million times the first one. Paper Toss 2 now with grenades and bananas. That's always I'm sure that'll do very well.
Surely should be just called Toss now. No. I mean, you know, unless the grenades are made of paper.
Mm. No, they're not.
Oh. Well, it's misleading. Misleading, yeah. John. I only like throwing paper.
Okay.
Chrono Trigger is also out this today. It's just been released. $6.99 or $9.99 in dollars. Classic Japanese RPG, which
your
you should all
one.
Buy. It's my favourite one, and you should all buy it. I haven't played it yet because I haven't had time to download it. But you should all buy it anyway.
Something else we forgot. It's news that kind of broke last night. So Apple has done its iPhone and iPad Games of the Year. Which we kind of noticed when obviously the developers involved started saying, we've got the iPhone game of the year, we've got the iPad game of the year. And then we suddenly realized that there was more than one saying it. So we looked into it and basically it seems that different, I'm not sure if it's exactly, it's not, it seems to be different continents, I guess, or they're allowed, the local teams are allowed to choose different games. So in America, the iPad game of the year is Dead Space. In Europe, it's Contra Jour. And in Australia and New Zealand, it's Real Racing 2.
Yeah. Hey, another site saw our story and then just wrote the story up themselves. Didn't reference us. I was very annoyed. They always do that, though.
And then when it comes to iPhone games, Tiny Tower is the iPhone game of the year in America and Tiny Wings is the iPhone game of the year in Europe. And the really weird thing about all those games is they've all chosen games made by developers in their own country. It's so nationalistic. to be fair to Apple, I think what they've done is they've made sure that all the games... There's like a winner of the iPhone or iPad game of the year, and then there's two runners-up. And I think all of the winners of the iPad game or the iPhone game are then the runners-up in the other one. So they get to choose. So they're not all choosing completely random. There's some sort of coordination in there. But I have to say, the one weird thing was in Europe, the iPhone game of the year was Tofu 2.
Really?
Which is kind of like an interesting game, but not... Particularly, I don't think it sold very well. It reviewed okay, but it's kind of like that's a fairly random game to be chosen. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I think we gave it.
I think it got less than that. Tofu 2.
Okay, but then equally in America, they've chosen for one of their runners up was BMX Touch Grind, which was again a really great, well put together game, but didn't. I'm just quite surprised it was one of their top three games of the year.
Yeah, we got we gave Tofu 2 a 6 because it was effectively the same as Tofu 1.
That's right. Yeah, but Tofu 1
was a 7, I think.
Yeah, I thought one of them had done okay, but yeah, weird, isn't it?
Also out this week, I completely forgot because of course we recorded originally this. Well, the first take was done before it was released on Live's app. Although it's not out this week. Or is it? Is it coming?
It is.
I should have put this in the news section, really. It's waiting approval at the moment as we record from
Apple.
Not
on my Android device.
Not on my Android device either. But this isn't the Android way. Watch out. We're gonna lose listeners if we reveal we also have Android phones. It's meant to be coming out on an iPad. Well, it should have been out yesterday, but Apple are busy.
But there's lots of suggestions about this, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of suggestions that on Live have submitted it and told everyone in the knowledge that,
that
it's going to get rejected.
Yeah.
Because obviously, one of their strategic investors is THC, obviously not a well-known producer of iOS devices, but quite well-known for its Android devices.
Yes.
So there could be a bit of skullduggery in there. It has been suggested. So we'll see.
So yes. So I personally, I don't think you're going to see it on iOS. We've seen it running on iOS. I've actually seen.
No.
Exactly. I've seen stuff running on an iPad 2 through One Live. It's just I don't think it's going to get in the App Store. I can't see how Apple would ever allow it to.
Well, because obviously you'd be unless the monetization goes through the App Store, it's clearly
not yeah.
But it is kind of. I mean, it depends how aggressive One Live want to be, because obviously they could make an app available for jailbroken iOS devices.
Yeah, they could, yeah.
Which would really obviously make Apple furious, but obviously a lot of people would do it because it's On Live is a pretty big success story.
And, yeah.
So it's an interesting one to see how that progresses.
On Live, if you don't know, is the way it's a streaming game service, so the power of your machine isn't important for the game being streamed to you from a remote.
Basically, all you need to do is all your devices do is decode a video stream, so effectively you can run on very low devices because it's running on a high-end PC in a server farm somewhere.
Yeah. So you can play Darksiders or LA Noir, which is going to be touch optimized soon, on a tablet.
Going to be sweet.
It's going to be sweet. I can imagine that one working quite well. Actually, Darksiders surprisingly works. It's probably my favourite touchscreen enabled game on Live, even though it really shouldn't work.
Which one's that?
That's the THQ's Zelda / God of War
one. I'm trying to think.
It looks like it's going to be a crap sort of budget release. Because I don't really like the art style in it. It's based on some comics, but actually it's quite entertaining when I played it on PC and. And it's not bad on Live either. So anyway, so that's something you can look forward to when they release it on the jailbroken Cydia store. I did have another bit of news that just popped into my head as well, but now I've managed to thankfully forget it.
Okay.
Also out this week is Theme Park.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Which is EA's freemium version, and my news story about its release has already picked up an angry comment. if you're a fan of the original, like I am, and I'm sure John is as well. Then it probably isn't going to be for you, which is a bit sad. But
freemium is just the way freemium works is different, isn't it?
Yeah, I can see the original working as a freemium game, like a hardcore freemium game. Unlocking new parts of the world for your part by paying cash. But no, they've gone for the Farmville style freemium. So never mind. Also out is FIFA Superstars, which was out like 3 months ago and was pulled from the App Store. And the reason given, I got an email from EA because I asked about it. It was pulled from the App Store in order to be revamped with new features and updated stats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now being treated as a new release. I wonder if people who bought FIFA Superstars previously... Oh, no, it's free, isn't it? So that wouldn't matter. Yeah, so there we go. So it's been pulled and then put back on again. very odd. Anyway, that's it. That's new releases. Let's go on to reviews.
Well, not necessarily reviews. What we've been playing.
What have we been playing? But we've been essentially review games.
Okay.
What we've been playing.
Should we do one each? And then one each alternating.
That'd
be unusual. Yeah. I've been playing Batman: Arkham City Lockdown. I'm a little bit further than I was when I was talking about it last night. Only just. I'm on the final stage now. It's pretty good. I've decided. It's pretty good. It's sort of a bit like Infinity Blade in that you go up against one-on-one battles and sort of like you swipe the screen to do certain actions. But what NetherRealm, I think? NetherRealm?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they've also added in is a bit of the
The Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah. They've added in combos for your swipes, which Infinity Blade did have, but they weren't very obvious. These ones, like if you swipe left, right, and then up, you'll do like a roundhouse kick to finish them off and stuff like this. The graphics are really good. It's Unreal Engine. but obviously that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to look good, but in this case it does. The sound effects are good as well. When you smash someone in the face, it's quite meaty. The special skills are stuff like from the Rocksteady games. You get the smoke bombs, and you can send bats out. Don't get that one. But it's I still haven't finished it because I haven't had much time to play it. But I've raced through the main game. Unless there's some new game plus or something, I might have to say it's a little bit too short for my liking. But it's and it does get a little bit repetitive in terms of the standard baddies, because there's only really three different types, and most of the time you are swiping left right to beat them. But having said all that, the boss fights are quite entertaining, quite varied. They're against popular characters. There's Two-Face, and there's the less popular Solomon Grundy, and the even less popular Deathstroke.
It sounds like he's in Emmerdale Farm or something, which is a bad UK sitcom.
So Solomon Grundy, but he's named himself after the rhyme. Born on a Monday.
The Grundys is what's the Radio 4 one? The Archers. Yeah.
Hello, Grundy. Listener. So you're killing more victims again. Yeah, great. Yeah, so you go up against him at one point. And there's Deathstroke. I think he's called Deathstroke. He's got a really stupid name, which I've never heard of Deathstroke. I'm not a massive Batman fan, but I quite like him. He's all right for a laugh occasionally, but don't want to invite him around every weekend. I think he's called Deathstroke. I'm sure I just insulted someone. Hang on, let me just check. Biographies. I was right, yeah, Deathstroke. And the Joker is the final boss, of course.
How quickly do you think it's going to be over then, this game?
I reckon it's going to be over in about an hour.
See, that's just a little bit.
It's a little bit too short.
I mean, because obviously the point of Infinity Blade was you went round and round and round, wasn't it? I mean, that's
an upgrade system, but then it's not as compelling. It's just like, you know, add plus 6% to your attack speed and stuff like this. But you do get comics. You get comics of it, which is cool. But I'm slightly disappointed by the fact you get three comics from the Arkham City range of stories, which is bridges the gap between Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. And you get episode number one, which I'm still reading through. I haven't read since I last recorded. Arkham City 6 and Arkham City 7 out of 7.
So no one can count.
So what's going on there? I'm going to jump in plot, surely. Unless I've got this all wrong, and you know, you can actually read through from number one, but I don't think I have. Anyway, I'm going to read through all of them just to double check. But they're good. They're good fun. You get wallpapers. They're all right.
Nice.
So it's okay. Those bat suits, by the way, don't believe it when it says you unlock them. You don't. You pay 69p for each of these, like Batman animated series and Batman Beyond and Dark Knight Returns skins. So that's a little bit misleading.
That's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, so there we go. That's Batman. It's pretty decent. It's quite fun. I'm leaning towards a 7.
Okay.
Probably a 7. But yes, I still need to finish it because I've literally played it for 40 minutes. But yes, John.
Yeah, so it's not a review, but it's I think someone will be reviewing it, but not me, I don't think. So it's a game I mentioned before called Flick Pig, which is from effectively it's the Sonic Team guys who left Sega. I don't know, about 3 years ago now maybe. And they've been knocking around doing various odd things. They released a stunning Unreal game. About 6 months ago, that was just completely bizarre, but really graphically amazing. So they're, I'm not entirely sure kind of what. I mean, they're Japanese. So I'm not quite. They have different ideas about game design. But anyway, Flick Pig is a very straightforward. I've been calling it like a level-based endless runner, which is a bit confusing, isn't it? Because it's not really. But basically, it's you're in control of three pigs. Technically, they're piggy banks and. They've lost their money, so
are they piggy banks?
Yeah, that's why they got slots in the top of them. Like kind of.
I wonder what those are for.
Yeah. So basically, I think actually, if you read the cartoon thing that starts it off, some wolves have come in and stolen their money out of their piggy bank. So.
Oh yes, I saw that. Yeah.
So they're basically running through the levels to pick up their coins again to obviously it's complete ridiculous. Anyway, so basically what you have is you have three paths going, and your pigs are running into the screen, and on each of these paths there's kind of coins, or there's some, you know, other power-ups kind of, and there's also walls that might be facing them, or walls kind of between paths. And what you need to do is you need to flick your pigs so that they'll stack up on each other. They automatically run into the screen. You can't control that. But you kind of, so you're flicking them off onto each other to make like a big three stack pile of pigs, or flicking them back off again and trying to get through the obstacles, get them to the end of the level, and have collected enough coins to kind of unlock the next level, which kind of sounds like a very kind of straightforward.
It looks really good.
But it is, yeah. So we've played some of these games, this kind of game before, but just the art style is like a shell. Let's get it right again. Okay,
cell shaded.
kind of style. So it's got a really kind of bright colours and kind of hard shadows and black kind of outlines. The music is really, I think the music is the thing I like the most probably. It's really nice. Obviously the levels are really short, and you first play a level and you kind of mess it up because you realize you should have stacked the three pig there, and then one got knocked off because there was a barrier and blah. So it's a little bit of kind of replayability, but it's fairly easy to begin with, just unlock levels. And it's just really nice. The levels are really short. Obviously, you kind of collect a certain amount of coins per level, and you can always replay them because you probably are unlikely to have got all of them because it's quite difficult. And actually, the other really nice thing is when they run over a chili, they all get like really hot and they start running really fast. And it's just all the touches on it are really, like the little animation touches are really beautiful. So it's a very, you know, it's kind of what the App Store was designed for. It's a very simple, very pick up and play, put down. It's really 99% good. Game.
I'm playing at the moment.
Yeah, it's really nice. Do you want to pass the baton back to you?
I have also been playing this week Starhammer Tactics. Actually, I've been playing it on and off for the last 2 weeks, which is a turn-based strategy game that appeared originally on the PSP, I think. it's not that good. I still need to complete the campaign. It's one of those games where it's sort of I need to play more of all the time.
sink,
it's a bit of a sink, and it's not that entertaining, so I would keep putting it off. So yes, it's turn-based strategy. You play the human forces
who are fighting back an evil alien fleet,
and you get control over certain ship types. It's top-down, turn-based. And every turn you move your ships, or fire a missile, and you have to, most of the time you have to destroy the enemy ship. Sometimes you have to stop them from running through a blockade and stuff like that. It doesn't look amazing. Even though I said it's a PSP release, don't think 3D, whiz-a-mang bango. it's kind of a bit dull looking. And the combat, this is my main issue. I mean, the whole focus of the game is on combat, but the actual combat system is incredibly vague and very hard to determine what's going on. Because each ship has has a shield and laser power slider. And you can move this freely, so you can put 100% to shields or 100% to laser. And the idea is that the higher you go, the more defense or the more attack power it has. But within two missions, I started just moving all my ships to full shield until it was my turn and I moved into the enemy with full attack power, because there didn't seem to be any other point to it. Because the enemy would fire off missiles, but I'd have full shield and it wouldn't damage me. So, and you could change the slider at any point during a turn, so I just changed to full attack the moment I'm in attack. And it's completely random anyway. So, like, even if you are on full attack, when you go and fight an enemy, you might actually be blown up. And it won't. And if you have it on half attack, half defense, you're still, like, you're even more likely to be blown up because you're not doing enough damage. So it seems completely pointless.
you're really silly in this.
Yeah, this is why I keep putting it off. I mean, I've still got to find out what one more ship type does. I'm just sort of plodding through the campaign. Each campaign mission is just a wall of text. There's no real sort of context to anything. There's a multiplayer mode which I still haven't played either, but I've got a suspicion I won't be able to find an opponent, because it's not really that sort of game. I'm leaning five unless things improve. But just, it's kind of a bit boring.
Oh well.
You got one more?
Yeah, go one more very quickly. So it seems to be freemium taking over everything now, doesn't it? But a bit of a different freemium game, which may not be great for its success in the long term, I guess. But there's a game from Appy Entertainment, who we've known for a long time, and they've kind of best known, I guess, for Face Fighters, which is their kind of slapping kind of game. And then they
another
also
another slapping game. How many slapping games?
That was the original slapping game. That's the original.
Oh, okay.
Didn't involve babies, unless you took a photo of your baby and put it in there, which is then probably your fault. And also did trucks versus skulls, trucks and skulls, which is basically like a Angry Birds, heavy metal Angry Birds. Inspiration of. Anyway, this is definitely they've got a new game called Spellcraft School of Magic, which is definitely by far and away the most polished kind of best presented game that they put together, because they're quite a small team. There's like less than 10 of them, I think. It's kind of in a sense they've worked in console games before, so they're not the obvious freemium game kind of rip-off merchants who just want to get your money for the sake of it. So they come up with quite a nice design kind of idea where you're kind of the currencies are kind of being used for the things we've expected in the past. So there's a bit of kind of like kind of plant nurturing. So we all know about, oh, you buy fertilizer to speed that up, or you know, you want to buy the best item for your avatar because you basically play as a wizard. Or a male or female wizard. So you obviously, I want to buy the best one or something. So there's kind of obvious things you can do. But the actual gameplay itself is split down into more like mini games. So you have a mini game where you have the plant side of it. It's a greenhouse, and you have to grow the ingredients that you're using your spells. So and obviously they're all time based. So you have the harvesting thing, and if you leave them too long, they'll wither, and you know, all that kind of stuff we know and hate from Farmville, and we rule that kind of stuff. And then they have the bit where you make your spells, where basically you obviously have to have the ingredients. You have to have grown the ingredients, and then you put them into a cauldron, and you have to like just stir. So basically, just do a circular motion on the screen at just the right speed to make your spells. And if you're terrible at it, you still get spells, but there's like a little kind of meter that you have to kind of keep it within a certain kind of area of the meter. But if you do it really well, then you, instead of getting three spells, you might get five spells. And then there's the combat part, which is card based. They're basically you have all the enemies which have like it's like three elements, earth, wind, fire, and then like a kind of wild card, chaos one. And so when you see the enemy, then obviously you're choosing a spell of a different element to get more kind of power over it. Otherwise it'd be resistant, blah, blah. So in and of itself, the mini games themselves are not particularly in depth, and you're not particularly skill based. But when you put it all together, there's different kind of ways you can kind of go if you want. And then there's a dueling thing where you can duel against other players of the game. There's like a pet nurturing bestiality history kind of area where you could a special kind of nurturing. So there's got this cool kind of elements. The presentation is really, really nice. And I mean, like a lot of these premium games, you get to a certain stage. I've probably about 2 hours in. I'm not very high at all. Like level 7 at the moment. So, and you kind of get to that stage where basically the soft currency is gold, which is what you need to buy the better plants to make the better spells. And if you have the weak spells, then if you go into combat, then those spells just aren't powerful enough.
So would you say the magic has faded?
The magic's faded. I mean, they have if you play every day, you kind of get more and more kind of gold, you know, like as a daily bonus. So because I've been playing before it came out, that didn't seem to be implemented. So that's one way of doing it. And they also have the system where you can watch videos and get. Oh, do they have that? Or is that another game? I don't know. I think they have. I think they have those kind of ad. Yeah, there's not the incentive downloads, but the incentive video watching.
Oh yes, yeah. So you know, Gameloft has done that on its freemium ones as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, everyone's doing it now. I mean, it just works so well. So I would say if you're looking for something a little bit different in the freemium space, I mean, obviously with all these freemium games, you can obviously download them. It's more the time to play them that's the issue. Mm. But it's doing something a little bit different. So if you're kind of interested in how the freemium model will develop in 2012, I think it's worth checking out.
It's probably more fun than Starhammer.
Yes, it sounds like more fun than Starhammer. Although I don't think it's something I'm going to be putting another 10 hours into. So, but I mean, I'm not a freemium chap, really. So, but worth checking out.
You don't have a big interest in magic like I do, John.
I don't have any spare time. That's the problem. So Spellcraft School of Magic. Yes.
Oh, I'm down. I like magic.
Yeah, you're
not magic. You're magic. Me.
You like dungeons. That's the problem.
I do. Yeah. yes. Well, that was it. That's it was really weird recording it and it's still light outside.
Yeah.
and unfortunately, we've both got to go back and do other work now. Yes, so thank you very much for listening. So apologies, this podcast is a bit delayed from the normal. we will talk to you next week. Talk at you. We won't talk to you. We won't let you have a word in. Where it's going to be our Christmas special conference recording, where we get other members of staff in to talk with us.
Oh, the other thing we have to mention very very quickly.
Oh, yes,
is,
of course, yeah.
Is we have a app that's just been released, which is the Free App Alliance app, which is lots of apps. But basically, it is we have a thing called the Free App Alliance, which is a website which shows all the free games that
cool kids call it the FAA.
FAA, yeah. So some games obviously go free for a certain period of time, and some games are just free and they're good. So that's the kind of thing where we kind of highlight what the best free apps, free games are, I should say. And now we have an app which has just gone live on the App Store, which is called the Free App Alliance. If you search for the Free App Alliance, you will find it, and it's
iPhone only.
Yes, it is iPhone only. But yeah, it's very, very nicely designed, I have to say.
Oh, what does it cost to download?
It is free.
Oh my word! You mean it's free?
Yes, yes.
And there's no excuse for all of you listening not to download it.
No, exactly.
Unless you don't have an iPhone.
Yes.
Or don't want it. that would also be a reasonable excuse. Free App Alliance out now for free.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, see you guys. Bye.
Have a good weekend.